Hello and welcome to our series of teachings that we have been following for some time now, which is Faith in Action. And it's a pleasure to be able to share with you this morning. The title for our teaching this morning is Faithful Leader. Faithful Leader. And we'll be talking about a Bible character today, and I'm referring to the person of Moses. Moses, the faithful servant of God. Moses, a humble, faithful, and dedicated leader who was chosen, called specifically by God to lead the children of Israel out of captivity that they have been in for 430 years in the land of Egypt. So God chose Moses to lead them out of captivity and to bring them to the place of promise, the promised land that God has chosen, where he wants to establish the children of Israel. To start our teachings for today, I'd like us to read from the Bible, and I'll be starting my reading today from the book of Exodus, chapter 3, and I'll read from verse 1 through to verse 15. So Exodus 3, 1 through to 15. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the far side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals from the place, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of this land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, Amorites, the Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen that the way the Egyptians are oppressing them, so now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name you shall call me from generation to generation. Praise the Lord. That Bible passage we've just read is an account of how God called Moses from what Moses was doing before now. So we can see there that Moses had a job. So he was tending to the flock of his father-in-law. And whilst he was doing that, he now saw this interesting thing happening, that there was fire. But meanwhile, the bush from where the fire was coming out was not being burned by the fire. What an amazing sight. And that said, Moses now said, look, I will turn to look at what is going on. And Moses sort of gave his attention. He gave his attention to that. And in verse 4, we read clearly there, it says that when the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called him. So what am I trying to get out from here? The first of all, the calling of God comes from the place of attention. It comes from the place of we giving ourselves to God, give ourselves to the things of God, give ourselves to the service of God. So as we serve day and night, God is watching us, God is looking. And from attention, as we give our attention to Him, our undivided attention, He calls us. He calls us and He gives us specific instruction. So here God specifically told Moses, it was very clear, there was no ambiguity about what Moses was to do. Moses was to go to the land of Egypt. And Moses was to say to Pharaoh to let God's people go, to bring deliverance to the children of Israel from their slavery, from their bondage, a captivity that they have been for approximately 430 years. That was Moses' assignment. Okay, so Moses, automatically from this, he became the leader of the children of Israel to lead them from the land of Egypt into the promised land that God has called them into. Now, leadership here does not necessarily mean you have to be called with a big title or you have to be doing something big. Not necessarily. Or you have to be a leader over thousands or hundreds or millions or tens of people, number of people. Not necessarily. You can be a leader and you are just on your own. I think the main thing here is that whatever it is that you are in charge of, God wants us to do it as unto God. You do it as unto God, and there is always a reward for that. Now today we are looking at Moses' type of leadership. What type of leader was Moses? Moses was a dedicated leader. He was a humble leader. As we will see, you know, with what I'm going to be saying in this teaching today. Now I'm going to give us some Bible references which we are not necessarily going to be able to read today, but please read these in your own time. One of them will be from the book of Exodus chapter 4, and that will be from verse 1 to verse 17. Now here, Moses was trying to explain to God how he was not
the right person to carry out this task, wonderful task of going to Egypt to deliver this message to Pharaoh. And Moses came up with different reasons. The first one of them was that, or rather the main one, was that he wasn't as eloquent as he would like to be. He probably had some challenges in terms of his verbal communication. But you see, when God calls, he equips. And that was the lesson that Moses was to learn. And Moses kept bringing these things back and forth, back and forth. And so here we can see how God now reassured Moses. So God confirmed his calling upon Moses' life. By doing two things, God performed two fantastic miracles. One of them was that in trying to overcome Moses' objection, God asked him, so what are you holding in your hand? And Moses said he's holding the staff, a shepherd rod. And God said to Moses to throw that down. And as soon as Moses threw it down, the Bible tells us, it turned into a snake. And God said to Moses to pick up that snake from the tail. When Moses picked up the snake from the tail, it turned back into what it was, the shepherd rod. And God said to Moses that this is one of the signs that I have sent you, or I'm sending you. And God performed another miracle in that same chapter, asked Moses to put his hand inside his cloak. And when Moses did that, and then God asked him to bring out his hands, and as he did that, the hand turned into leprosy. And then God told him again, put it back in, and he did the same, and then the skin returned to normal. And then Moses kept going on and going on and going on, and even referred to his brother Aaron. And God said to Moses, say, okay, Aaron will go with you. Aaron will do the talking. Okay? But you are the one who will be holding the staff. That means Aaron is going with you, but my authority for this calling is with you, Aaron. Moses, I beg your pardon. And that was what it was. So you can read that account of how God reaffirmed his calling upon Moses and confirmed it in the book of Exodus 1 to 17, like I said earlier on. Now, you see, Moses was a fantastic leader. Moses showed a lot of qualities which we are going to be talking about here today. Now, in Exodus chapter 32, this is what we're told. 32 verse 1, I'll read through to verse 14. Exodus 32, 1 to 14. So when the people saw that Moses was so long in coming down from the mountain, they gathered around Aaron and said, come, make us gods who will go before us. As for this fellow Moses who brought us up out of Egypt, we don't know what has happened to him. Aaron answered them, take off the gold earrings that your wives and your sons and your daughters are wearing and bring them to me. So all the people took off their earrings and brought them to Aaron. He took what they handed him and made it into an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioning it with a tool. Then they said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. When Aaron saw this, he built an altar in front of the calf and announced, tomorrow there will be a festival to the Lord. So the next day, the people rose early and sacrificed burnt offerings and presented fellowship offerings. Afterward, they sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in reverie. Then the Lord said to Moses, go down, because of people whom you brought up out of Egypt have become corrupt. They have been quick to turn away from what I commanded them and have made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it and sacrificed to it and have said, these are your gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. I have seen these people, the Lord said to Moses, and they are stiff-necked people. Now leave me alone, so that my anger may burn against them, and that I may destroy them. Then I will make you into a great nation." So yeah, we're going to be looking at what the quality of the type of leader that Moses was. But Moses sought the favor of the Lord, his God. "Lord," he said, "why should your anger burn against your people, whom you brought out of Egypt with great power and a mighty hand? Why should the Egyptians say, 'It was with evil intent that he brought them out, to kill them in the wilderness and in the mountains, and to wipe them off the face of the earth'? Turn from your fierce anger, relent, and do not bring disaster on your people. Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, to whom you swore by your own self, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and I will give your descendants all this land I promised them, and it will be their inheritance forever.' Then the Lord relented and did not bring on his people the disaster he had threatened." You see, here it was very easy for Moses to have, you know, gotten a kingdom for himself. Here, God wanted to destroy the children of Israel because of what they had done. They had sinned. Whilst Moses was up in the mountain hearing from God and getting a message from God, they decided to go their own way. And so they had sinned. And God revealed this to Moses. But when Moses came down, Moses pleaded with God and interceded on behalf of the children of Israel. This particular action from Moses shows that Moses was dedicated to the cause of his calling. He was called. Moses had a clear instruction from God to go to the land of Egypt, get the children out, which they had come out, but the calling was not complete, because part of the calling was that we'll bring them to the land, to the place where God has chosen, where he wanted them to be. But at this point, the children of Israel, they have sinned so badly that God was prepared to destroy them, and God was prepared to raise a generation to take their place from Moses. And we see here, Moses was dedicated to that cause. Moses was dedicated to what God had called him to do. This is an example for us as leaders, for every leader, for everybody in the position of authority. We need to be asking ourselves these questions. How dedicated are we to the cause of our calling? How dedicated are we to the things that we have been entrusted with? Are we just there to begin to enrich ourselves? Moses could have easily enriched himself and his family. Himself, his children, his grandchildren would just take over all the land that God has promised the entire nation of Israel. God said he was prepared to build a nation out of Moses. But Moses pleaded. Moses pleaded with God. Moses, a dedicated leader. Moses showed dedication here. Dedication, which is something very, 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 very rare to see in leaders today. You see, and I think this is a lesson that we should be looking closely at, so that we can be better leaders in whatever sphere we lead, in whichever area we lead, whether in the church, or whether outside the church, whether you lead a country, a government. Dedication to the cause, dedication to the reason why you are there. And I'm sure that as we do that, God has many, many, many blessings in stock for us in the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. So we're looking at Moses, a humble and dedicated leader who God called to bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt onto the land he has promised them. I'm going to look at another characteristics of Moses' leadership today. And we're looking this time around at Exodus chapter 24. Exodus 24. Now, with Exodus 24 here, we're going to see an account of what happened when Moses' father-in-law came to see Moses whilst Moses was doing what God has called him to do. Okay. Now, In the book of Exodus, chapter 18. So in Exodus chapter 18, I'm going to read from verse 1. Now Jethro, the priest of Midian and father-in-law of Moses, heard of everything God had done for Moses and for his people Israel, and how the Lord had brought Israel out of Egypt. So this is Moses' father-in-law now. So he now decided he was going to see Moses and to see what was going on. So if we skip straight to verse 13 of Exodus chapter 18, so the next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and they stood around him from morning till evening. When his father-in-law saw all that Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What is this you are doing for the people? Why do you alone sit as judge, while all these people stand around you from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because the people come to me to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and instructions." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come to you will only wear yourselves out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their dispute to him. Teach them his decrees and instructions, and show them the way they are to live and how they are to behave. But select capable men from all the people, men who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gains, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide themselves. That will make your load lighter, because they will share it with you. If you do this, and God so commands, you will be able to stand the strain, and all these people will go home satisfied." Now, here is an interesting bit, verse 24. So Moses listened to his father-in-law and did everything he said. He chose capable men from all Israel and made them leaders of the people, officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. So they served as judges for the people at all times. The difficult cases they brought to Moses, but the simple ones they decided themselves. What a leader, Moses. What a leader. Moses could have easily said to Jethro, "No, I'm sorry. God, I'm the one that God has called. You are not the one that God has called. God called me to do this." But we see here Moses did not do that. What Moses did was, the Bible says in verse 24, said he listened. He listened to his father-in-law. He listened. Every good leader must be a good listener. Every good leader must be a good listener. You must listen. We must listen to our people. You must listen to your people, the people that God has called along to support you. Listen to them, the people that God has brought to support us, to help us. We must listen to them as we're listening on a daily, weekly, hourly, you know, minute by minute, second by minute, and second by second to God for clarity. We must also listen to the people. We see Moses demonstrated humility here. Moses was humble enough to listen to his father-in-law. He listened, and he appointed men to support him to do the work. That's the kind of leadership. That's the kind of thing that God would expect us to do. I'm not saying that we listen to people who are going to, you know, sidetrack us from what God has called us to do, or cause an adulteration in the vision that God has given. But people with wisdom, people who speak clearly, speak the mind of God, the will of God, people who can bring in positive input into making the calling and that which God wants us to do a reality. And so we see here Moses demonstrating humility. It reminds me of, you know, our ultimate leader. As I begin to round up, it brings to mind the ultimate leader. There can never be a better leader than this ultimate leader. There can never be a more humble leader than this ultimate leader. There can never be a more dedicated leader than this ultimate leader. I'm talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came to die for us and gave his life in order to deliver us from darkness into the kingdom of light. Just like Moses, through the help of God, delivered the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt and bring them into the promised land. Jesus, the ultimate leader, came to deliver us. And if we look in the book of Philippians, we're told in the book of Philippians chapter 2, and I'll read that now. In Philippians chapter 2, this is what the Bible has to tell us. I will read from verse 2, I'm going to start reading from verse 5. It says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. It says, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearances as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death. Jesus is the epitome of humility. He demonstrated humility. There is no other way to demonstrate humility than to lay aside everything that has to do with his godliness, is divinity. God deciding, put aside everything to do with God, becoming like one of his own creature, man, weak man. Jesus became man, flesh and blood. It takes humility to do that. It takes humility to subject yourself to somebody or to people you created. It takes humility to look at them in the eye while they're smacking you, they're spitting at you, they're calling you names, they're mocking you. It takes humility to look at them knowing fully well the number of cells in their bodies, knowing fully well these are your own creation. It takes humility not to want to do what you should do as God. Jesus demonstrated the height of humility. And brothers and sisters, and also as many people that are listening to this, I think this teaching on faithful leader will not be complete if I do not mention what Jesus has done as well. Jesus humbled himself. And also, Jesus, as the ultimate leader, also demonstrated dedication to his calling. God called Jesus and gave him a ministry, the ministry of redemption, bring salvation to mankind, that he was going to come and die. And when Jesus came, he performed so many miracles. But I want to draw our attention to John chapter 6, verse 15. We're told there, after Jesus has performed so many miracles, if you read from verse 1, the Bible tells us that at some stage Jesus now crossed the sea of Galilee to the other side. And whilst he was there with his disciples, the Bible says that Jesus saw a multitude of people approach him. And as they were coming, he was looking at them, came and they sat down. And then Jesus asked his disciples, so where can we get food for these ones to eat? And of course, we're talking wanting to feed thousands of people, thousands. And the disciples now were wondering, but it would take a lot of money to feed these people. And one of our disciples came to us, a young man here who has 5 loaves of bread. And the Bible tells us that in the crowd, among the people that were seated, they had about 5,000 men. Men. They must have had women there as well, and children. So the men alone, 5,000. So you can imagine the number of people that would have been there. But Jesus gave the instruction and distributed the bread. The Bible says they were given as many, each person was given as many bread as they got enough quantity to be able to satisfy them. And of course, like we all know the story, there was left of us. But the interesting thing here is this. The Bible tells us that after they had eaten, when they saw the miracle that they saw, the people were amazed at the miracle, and they said to themselves, in verse 14 of John chapter 15, this is what they said. He said, after the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. And then in verse 15, the Bible tells us, it says, Jesus, knowing that they intended to come and make him king by force, withdrew again to a mountain by himself. Jesus demonstrated dedication to the call here. It was very easy for him to say, all right, they're going to make me king now. You know, they're going to make me king and... But no. He did not allow himself to be distracted from the calling, which is to bring redemption and salvation. But Jesus, we're told, he withdrew from the crowd and he went to the mountain all by himself. We're talking about faithful leader. A leader who is faithful to the calling, dedicated to the cause, dedicated, humble. We see that demonstrated by Jesus. There can never be any other leader that would have done it any better than Jesus did. I hope we will ponder on these words and the type of leader that Moses was and the type of leader that Jesus is to us today. And we can see that these two ministries, ministry, the leadership of Jesus and the leadership of Moses, they're very similar. But what I think we'll take home from here today is that leadership should be with humility, should be with dedication. And let us have faith by the Holy Spirit that God will help us to be able to be the type of leader or leaders that he wants us to be. Thank you for listening. God bless you.